From the Motor City, my old hometown, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be, across the nation, around the world, I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM, broadcasting from the OnStar Studios in Detroit. I'll tell you a little bit about my tour of the OnStar facilities in just a moment, but my thanks to the folks at the OnStar Studios, because not only do they have a great facility here, but it'll allow me to get here and see my parents every once in a while. Dad's 82 years old. I kind of surprised him today. He was with his friends at a senior citizen's lunch, and I walked in there, and he did a double take, and yep, there I was. So it's kind of a neat feeling. So once again, thanks to the folks from OnStar for letting us use their facility. Every month, by the way, OnStar, which is an amazing system, opens up 43,000 doors that are locked with people who either forget their keys or they lose them and they can't get into their cars. That's just one of the things that they do here. But the tour is incredible. And I got to tell you, technology is just simply unbelievable. I can't describe it. I'll be here for hours telling you about the many facets that they have here at the OnStar facility. But technology with satellite, absolutely stunning. Later on tonight, open lines, and you're going to love the first couple hours we've got for you. Here's some of the news of the day in Yuma, Arizona. Illegal immigrants threw rocks at a Border Patrol helicopter, forcing the pilot to make an emergency landing when one of the rocks damaged the rotor. Now, neither the pilot nor the Border Patrol observer was injured. Knock on wood on that one. One baseball-sized rock gashed the rotor, forcing the pilot to land nearby. After this incident, 17 people were apprehended for illegally crossing the border. Two of them were being investigated for smuggling. 10 immigrants evaded capture. Who knows where they are? The investigation into the rock throwing continuing. Well, in Florida, utility crews scrambled to restore power to more than 1 million customers as Hurricane Katrina, blamed for 6 deaths and miles of flooded streets in South Florida, threatened the state with an encore visit just when they thought she went away. She's coming back, Category 2 now, but they think when she comes back as early as Monday, could be a Category 4 storm. So we'll keep our eyes on that one. Now listen to this. If you've been thinking about buying a house or even selling it, Alan Greenspan from the Federal Reserve says that home buyers in this country are at risk of a crash if they continue to drive property prices higher. There is a difference, for example, of housing prices in St. Louis and Los Angeles. The difference, quite frankly, is absolutely tremendous. But he says that the U.S. house price spiral has become an economic imbalance threatening stability, like the country's trade gap or its budget deficit. And he is warning everybody who is buying homes or about ready to sell. He says this is going to be a huge crash if it continues going the way it is, and I don't see it stopping. If you get up to the coasttocoastam.com website under Hot Stories, take a look at the Spirit reaching the Martian hilltop. What a great picture. If Richard C. Hoagland was with us right now, he would say, you know what? Those things look like structures. They are strange. The Mars Spirit rover has reached a milestone. Its exploration of the red planet, the Spirit, has now wheeled into position atop what is called Husband Hill, a range that rover first observed on a distant horizon from its Gusev crater landing site in January of 2004. These are really spectacular images. Get up to the coasttocoastam.com website to take a look at that. You know, we always talk about ghosts here on Coast to Coast, and in a moment we're going to talk with three investigators who have their own internet radio show on ghosts. And let me tell you something. Later on in the program, we're going to play some EVPs for you. And yes, we'll also take your phone calls. So in a moment, ghosts on Coast to Coast AM. Well, let me introduce our three people, and you're going to get a kick out of the next couple hours here. One of the creators of Ghostly Talk, Scott L., became interested in the paranormal as a young child when he bought his first book, Haunted Houses by Larry Kettelkamp. Intrigued and frightened by this book, he developed an adolescent interest in the paranormal that rooted itself firmly into his mind through the present day. When Scott graduated from Wayne State University with a major in operational logistics and a minor in informational systems development, he then had time to pursue his passion. After doing a lot of ghost hunting and talking about the paranormal, Scott met the fellow you're going to meet in a second, asking him if he wanted to try to do an internet talk show on these subjects. Scott jumped at the opportunity. Scott, how you doing?
Absolutely wonderful, George.
Good. Welcome to Coast to Coast. You're going to scare us tonight?
Well, we're going to hopefully make people think tonight.
All right.
That's what we're going to do.
Doug, also known as Skiz, has been interested in paranormal topics ever since checking out a book about witchcraft as a young boy. He has read many books about paranormal subjects, with his favorite topics being out-of-body experiences, Edgar Cayce, ESP, prophecy, and ghosts. And while surfing the internet in 2001, he was happy to learn that other people actually went prowling about cemeteries and haunted places looking for ghosts. Since then, he has been an avid ghost hunter. Doug has done terrestrial radio before, WTWR, the station at the University of Detroit, where I once was a long time ago, where he received his bachelor's degree in management sciences and informational systems. Upon meeting Scott, whom you just met, Doug suggested doing an internet talk show about ghost hunting. The premiere of Ghostly Talk in February of 2002 streamed to a total listening audience of one computer, though two people were listening. Doug, welcome to Coast to Coast.
Well, thank you, George. It's an honor and a pleasure to meet you and be here.
Kind of be exciting going through cemeteries, huh, in the wee hours?
It is very interesting, sometimes dangerous, because there's, you know, places to put your feet that don't always support
or,
you.
Or hands that come out and pull your ankles.
Well, that, fortunately, has not happened yet.
All right, we'll talk about that. And the third member of the team, Will, always had an interest in the paranormal and has had many experiences before and since. Becoming an active ghost hunter, he's been ghost hunting actively for more than 8 years. He then decided to look for other people on the internet that wanted to learn and scientifically and spiritually study the afterlife. Will had some ill-fated attempts with groups that did not share the same goals until he met Doug and Scott. The original group was restructured, and Doug and Will founded the Michigan Ghost Busters. Currently, Will is an account manager for a pest control company, and he is pursuing a marketing degree as well. Welcome, Will. How are you?
Great. Good to be here.
You know what I noticed? All three of you have different interests within the paranormal. It's almost like together you're one complete person, but separately you've got all these different areas of expertise. Is that true?
Yeah, we've always kind of laughed at each other because all of us are three very, very different people to the very core. But for some reason, we can still get along and still talk about things and do this work that we've been doing, geez, since Doug and myself met back in actually 2001 before we started doing Ghostly Talk.
As kids, Doug, did you really get interested in these kind of subjects?
Oh, definitely. When I had initially in grade school checked out a book, believe it or not, in grade school about witchcraft. That was our library sciences kind of thing to do.
Not good to dabble with witchcraft.
Well, it was the only thing they had. So then I went on, of course, to junior high, where I followed a lot of the news about paranormal things. And at the time, it was some amazing people. You know, Jane Roberts and Seth, for example, was publishing actively.
What was it, Will, that got you really fascinated about these subjects?
I read a lot about Whitley Strieber's books, Communion. Uh-huh. That really helped me get into the UFO aspect of it. And then with ghosts, it was just my own experiences growing up. Quite a few things happen over the years.
Well, it's fascinating because I, too, at a young age, had this incredible interest in the paranormal. Not necessarily the ghost. The ghost angle really didn't get me until years later. I was interested more in the psychic connection of the mind and what was there after you died and things like that. I really got to be fascinated with that. Tonight we'll share some ghostly stories as well. I do want to tell you one that I came across several months ago about a little girl who was living in a very old home with her parents. And like most kids, they have imaginary friends. And her parents, you know, kind of went along with it until the mood started getting a little more serious. And the mother said, well, Sally said that, you know, she's not going to talk to me anymore, and that this is the last time, and it's coming to an end. And the parents kind of looked at each other, and they went, well, that's kind of weird that she would say that. What's wrong? She said, well, Sally wanted me to tell you that she's dead now, and that, you know, I'm supposed to tell you something else. Now the parents really started getting a little concerned. I mean, there's this little kid talking about a dead kid. So they said, well, what do you mean? And she said, well, Sally said that she was killed in this house a long time ago and that her bones were buried in the floor, underneath the floor. And the parents really got concerned. They called the police department. The cops came out. And sure enough, after pulling out old records, there was a missing case of a girl who had lived in that house. And they found that to be strange that this little girl would know that. So she told them approximately where these bones might be underneath the floor, and they dug it up. And sure enough, they found the bones of a little girl who'd been murdered and buried under there. Now that's, to me, that's chilling, but it's also emotional and heartwarming at the same time. You mean you get scared, and then at the same time it gives you goosebumps, and you're glad that you heard a story like that. Do you come across things like that?
Quite too often, actually. I mean, we hear you. The thing was, when you get into ghost hunting like this, you always hear the stories of the location you go to. And there's a lot of people out there that we've talked to ourselves that more or less just specialize in the history and the stories of these locations, as opposed to actually going in there and going and doing the investigations of some sorts. There's all types of weird stories. Every location we went to, for example, one of the places we've went to a couple times is Mansfield Reformatory in Mansfield, Ohio. Mm-hmm. So at the Ohio State Reformatory. And there's stories all over that place. These guys can
And later on, by the way, this hour, mm-hmm. you provided us some EVP sounds.
Yeah.
One of which is that reformatory. Right?
Absolutely. Yes. Okay. Yeah. There's actually one story that's a result of this particular EVP that we're going to be listening to later. It's a story that was, there was an actual prison riot. Uh-huh. In the prison. And what happened was, to maintain control, the guards started shoving prisoners four to a cell. And what happened was, there were a few prisoners that got locked into a solitary confinement cell together, which we, most of us know that solitary confinement cells are not very good to be in.
Right.
Even when you're touring and looking at them, just checking them out, they're kind of unpleasant. And the story goes that four men were locked in the cell, and one man actually had some food on him, and they actually murdered this man.
For the food,
and stuff his body under the cot.
Oh, my gosh.
It's a very creepy story.
It really is. Hey, tell me this, and let's start with you, Will. Of anything that you've done in this field, the paranormal field, and, you know, you've got this interest in some of the unusual things, and, again, you all have your own different areas of expertise. Is there one story that stands out in your career that just blows your mind?
Probably the story of Morrow Road would be the one that sticks out in my mind. It's the one that I've been investigating from the start.
Okay, tell me about that.
The story goes, it's a local legend in Algonac, Michigan. A woman had a child. Uh-huh. She wasn't married, and she went and took the baby out. Or she had the baby out in the woods by this bridge, and she left it there. Went and left, and then when the baby stopped crying, she went back for it, and the baby had died, so she hung herself from the tree, and supposedly she haunts the road looking for a baby.
Oh, wow.
Supposed to hear a baby crying, see a woman in white walking down the road, green light chasing cars, that type of thing. I've seen disappearing cars out there. We've seen silhouettes, orbs of light running around the road. Tons of stuff.
How do you explain this to yourself, what some of these things could be?
I myself, you know, with the disappearing cars, we actually tried to chase down and find out where they went, and we have no explanation for them except for it has to be something paranormal, because there was no place for those cars to turn off.
Have you come across things that you logically come to a conclusion, this is some kind of natural event? This is not ghostly. This is not paranormal. And it's time to move on to another subject.
Sure, sure. I mean, there's been times where we've been out there and we've, you know, what we thought was actually originally orbs of light was actually nothing but fireflies.
Right.
And at that point, you know, we walk down farther and look for something else and see what we find
but
out.
But you've got to check it out.
We got to check it out. You always got to check it out. You got to see if there's an actual logical position for it.
How about you, Doug? What's the one story that has just haunted you?
Not so much a story as an experience that we had also in Elginac at what we endearingly call the train wreck site. There's something I cannot explain there.
Now tell me about this one.
We were up there investigating this area, which, of course, with its name, train wreck site, you can pretty much figure out what we think happened there in the past. Well, we were up there with a lot of people, and this one girl pointed out that on this bridge, because it's a bridge, it's a walking bridge, you walk over it, on the iron railings, there were fingerprints of maybe, what, a dozen people?
Mm-hmm.
And they would have had to have been hanging over the bridge in order to make these fingerprints, like they were climbing out of the water. This was a warm night. It wasn't cold. We tried to make fingerprints with our own very human fingers. Could not make fingerprints. We tried to rub the fingerprints away.
They wouldn't go.
They wouldn't go away.
They come right back.
We never saw them before that, and we have never seen them since then. It was just that one night. And I did go back exactly a year to the day. They were not there. It was just that one night.
How do you explain that?
That I cannot explain. That's why it's the one thing in my mind that is just absolutely shocking. And that's what I go out there for. That's what I go searching for.
So I would guess, Doug, that you are truly a believer in the hereafter.
I saw a ghost once. So, yes. And I almost strangled Scott L. with it because we were driving in my car. And I thought I was going to hit this fellow. And we were driving through a cemetery. So, of course, we weren't going fast.
Right.
We were
let's hope you weren't.
We were going fast enough to nearly put me through.
Yeah, you were knocking down tombstones and everything else. Right?
Not that kind of driving through cemeteries.
So but you see a ghostly figure walking through the cemetery?
He was as real as you and me. And I'm telling you, I thought I was going to hit him with my car. So I slam on the brake, and we were going fast enough give him a jolt.
No seatbelt, right?
No, I had my belt on. That's when he nearly strangled me.
Yeah, that's how he almost got strangled.
I thought you were going to do it personally.
He was about to strangle me then after I stopped so suddenly. But I thought I was going to hit this guy. And it was just a normal-looking guy. And Scott L. was saying, what? What'd you do that for? And this all takes place within a second. I said, I almost hit that guy. And I pointed at nothing.
Nothing. Gone. Mm-hmm. Did you see it?
I did not see it.
And, of course, we were in the car, so we didn't have our cameras and recorders
exactly.
out.
Exactly.
But I'll tell you this thing, George, though. In doing this work, it's very hard to find people that you can trust 150%.
Right.
And Doug saw that. I didn't see it.
You believe him.
But I believe him.
Yeah.
I believe him 100% on that.
Tell me a little bit about ghostly talk. And, of course, the reason why you three are in the studio here at OnStar is because you live in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so you're Detroiters like I was. And, of course, you always go back to your roots.
Oh, yes.
But tell me about ghostly talk. And it's an internet radio show. It's on what, Sundays?
Sundays we're actually moving. We used to be at 2 hours, but the beginning of September, we're going to go to 3 hours. So we're going to be on from 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time.
All right. You know, we could crush your server if you give us that web address.
Do you want me to?
Of course.
All right. Do our server people want you to?
It is www.ghostlytalk.com.
Simple enough.
Very simple.
And what are the subject matter beyond ghosts? Do you take calls, or is it just primarily interviews and stories?
We do calls also. Of course, we're not as equipped as the wonderful people at OnStar here, but with our
this
meager...
is for me, by the way.
With our meager system that we do have, which we've been building up over the last couple of years by basically donations from our listeners, because we broadcast the show live for free, we archive the show. For free, that anybody can go there and download over 3 years worth of archives for free.
Now, how do you do your investigating? Where do you get your tips?
More or less reading, talking to people, just getting tips from people. And sometimes Will. You go to, yeah, Will. Will is like
he's our researcher.
He's our researcher.
All right, well, stay with us. We'll be back in a moment. We're going to listen to some EVP sounds when we come right back. I'm George Norrie with the Ghostly Talk Folks right here on Coast to Coast AM, live from Detroit at the OnStar Studios. We'll be right back. Man, I'm just tossed for a loop looking at this photograph of the Spirit Rover that it took when it went to the top of that rim. Get up to the coasttocoastam.com website. Take a look at it. It is something. They look like structures on Mars. I'm not kidding you. Hey, the After Dark newsletter comes out. It's in full color. But right now, you can get a free CD. It is with Father Malachi Martin. So call 1-888-727-5505. 1-888-727-5505. It's called Perfect Possession. Guess what that's all about? You'll also get it when you renew, so take advantage of it. Pick up the After Dark newsletter and subscribe, and then get the free CD. 1-888-727-5505. Now, when we come right back with those from Ghostly Talk, we're going to listen to some EVPs. The next hour, we're going to open up the phone lines. Perhaps we can listen to your ghost stories. And then later on, we'll have our Friday into Saturday morning open lines. And then at the end of the program, the last hour, just a little surprise for you, something to make you chuckle into your weekend. Back in a moment. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie, live in Detroit at the OnStar Studios with our three guests this hour, Will, Doug, and also Scott. And I'm going to ask you about these EVPs that you've given me. But I've got to tell you, these three guys have just like blurred and kind of like disappeared during the commercial break. I'm beginning to wonder if they're ghosts. It wouldn't be something ghosts set themselves up and come into a facility and just disappear right in front of me.
That would be an amazing story.
Just gone. Anyway, first the EVP we're going to listen to is called The Bridge. Who wants to set up the story?
I can Scott? Do that, I All think. Right. This was actually taken, it was picked up by our friend when we were in, this was actually in Brazil, Indiana, which is Putnam County, and this was actually at the location was the Edna Collins Bridge.
Okay.
And it's actually, if you go to ghostlytalk.com, there's a picture up on our site in the picture section that has a picture of the sign on the inside of the bridge.
You see, it is a covered bridge.
Yes.
Those counties down there west of Indianapolis have old-fashioned covered bridges. As a matter of fact, soon, if not now, is the Covered Bridge Festival down there.
Are these old wooden bridges?
Old wooden bridges. Okay. Mm-hmm. And this particular one was actually, before it was a wooden covered bridge, they had torn down a faulty, more sturdy bridge. I don't remember if it was iron or stone or anything like that, but it was a more sturdy bridge. They put up the wooden bridge. It's still there.
Now, this EVP we're going to listen to, and of course, with EVPs, it's tough to hear in the first place. Then when you're listening to it through your radio, you really got to listen. So I think what we're going to do is just to tell you what you're going to hear. It might be easier then for the ear to pull out those sounds. Yeah. But tell me, guys, a little bit about what we're listening to or what kind of ghostly apparition you might have picked up.
Well, we're arguing about where we're going to go to next. We're getting ready to leave the bridge, actually. And what happened is there's a conversation going on. So you can kind of hear the reverberation on the inside of the bridge because we are in the bridge. And just as a side note, there was four adult males there. Myself, Doug, Will, and our buddy Scott Kern. And this came off his recorder, actually.
Okay.
And then our friend Bonnie, who is like our fourth member of Ghostly Talk, she was there hanging out. And she's an adult female. So you have four adult male voices going, and you have one adult female. And you're going to hear, we want to set this up for everybody?
Set it up, absolutely.
You're going to hear a little girl.
Okay.
And I can assure you there's no little girl with us.
All right, here we go. Let's listen to this.
Water.
Okay, Danny, let's cue that up, Dan, and get ready to play that one more time. I distinctly heard her say, and you really have to listen to it, but it was, I want to go, or I'm going to go, or something like that. Is that right?
You nailed it, George.
Yes. I want to go seems to be the...
And we were discussing consensus. Where we were getting ready to go.
Okay, let's listen to that again, Dan, and listen very closely to her saying, I want to go. It comes up really fast. There it is. Okay. Now, that was pretty, you know, when you listen to it and you know what you're listening to,
yeah,
it's pretty distinctive. The OnStar engineers here are in shock. They're scared to death.
Oh, my God, look at them. They're running out right now.
They're shivering.
We got the call on that on our way home from Indiana from Scott, our buddy Scott Kern. And he said, you need to check your mail when you get home right away.
What's the story, if you know, behind the little girl?
Well, actually, at the Edna C. Collings Bridge, it has a plaque put there by the Historical Society or some actual commission. And it gives a little of the history of the Edna C. Collings Bridge. And it does say, the very last line is something to the effect of, this bridge is thought to be haunted by a mother and her little girl.
The story we heard, as far as that goes, is that there used to be a little girl that used to swim under the bridge.
And after school. She drowned or something.
Well, what happens, yeah, her father used to come by, honk the horn for dinner. She'd come up, and she'd go home for dinner. And one day he honked the horn, and she didn't come up. She did drown.
What is it about the sound of a child on an EVP that, for me, just sends chills up my spine? I can handle these ghosts in prisons and things like that. But when I hear a little kid say something like, I want to go, Mommy, or help me, or something, it just gives me the willies. It really does. Why? What is it about a little kid?
Well, kids tug at your heartstrings.
Absolutely,
I mean,
yeah.
they're the future. They're our future. And it's quite a, you know, dichotomy to think of this was our future, but...
Well, just children themselves and little girls. I mean, and little children. I mean, they're cute, and you don't wish any harm upon our babies.
And then you think about how they die, and that's sad.
Yeah.
Plus, you know that they didn't get to experience life like all the rest of us are getting to do.
Yeah. It's a sad thing on that aspect. But on the other side of it, though, we're studying this thing, and we're trying to develop results and build this giant body of information and data.
When did you figure out that you had that sound on tape?
Our buddy's the one that captured it on his recorder.
Know it right there? Did you go back later and listen to it at home?
Well, he was actually listening. He was reviewing it as we were driving home from Indiana.
Oh.
And he called us on the phone and said, guys, like I said, when you get home, check your mail. We're like, okay, we'll check it when we get home. We get home and check it, and we have this piece of audio. And it blew us all away.
It is priceless.
Yes.
Next one is called Cemetery. What's that about?
The cemetery one was actually, ironically, it was taken at the cemetery we went to right after the Edna C. Collings Bridge. We had a very good day.
I bet you guys were fun to go out with.
We had a very good day this day. This was actually at Boone Hut Cemetery.
Right.
And this is, to set the scene, this cemetery is gigantic, not in like a football field sort of way, but it's a big hill.
It's on a hill. And it was actually beautiful because the sun was setting, and you look out over the fields of Indiana, and the sun is setting, and you're on a hill amidst all this history, meaning, you know, the stones tell stories of people. And it was absolutely beautiful, but the sun was setting, and it was time to go.
You're the only person who has never been scared of a cemetery that I've talked to.
Really?
Yeah. Maybe you all are that way.
Oh, it's beautiful there, though. I usually get a nice, peaceful, relaxing feeling.
You don't go out to cemeteries just for fun, do you?
Just for evidence.
Just for evidence.
No picnics.
I actually found when I first started ghost hunting actively that it was a really nice release for me sometimes to go somewhere like that after working all week and having a stressful week with all the stuff I have to do, to go out to a place at nighttime.
So you go to a cemetery?
Well, I didn't go by myself. I had other people there.
OnStar security, how do we get
out? Oh, no. But this particular piece of audio, I'll set the scene for
you. And what are we going to hear?
You're going to hear a voice that sounds like it literally put its mouth right up to the recorder.
Okay.
And mind you, there's only two of us here at the time, myself and Doug. Will and Scott were actually investigating the perimeter of the cemetery, and our other partner Bonnie was down in the truck because she didn't want to climb the hill. Okay. So you're going to hear us talking about our breakfast, and then you're going to hear this voice.
This one's very low.
Okay.
Very low. It's right,
we'll probably end up listening to it twice. Okay. Go ahead, Danny.
Hold on, pancakes, and let me play that quarter game all night.
I need $100 in credit.
I'm going to win myself a quarter if it kills me.
You hear this voice that comes in right in the middle of our conversation. And it says, and Will actually said, I'm sorry, Doug, what did you say?
I said, I need $100 in quarters. Scott L. starts saying something. You hear over what Scott's saying and what I start to say, me too.
Okay, let's listen to it again, Dan. Right after the portion where Doug says, I need $100 in quarters. Let's listen.
Hold on, pancakes, and let me play that quarter game all night.
I need $100 in quarters.
Yeah, there it is. Real quick, though.
The weird part about this audio, George, is that if you really dig into it and stretch it out and do all kinds of fun stuff with it on your computer, you'll find that there's three Me Tubes in it. There's one that's buried under the audio, very low, and then a very quick one, and then that big one you hear, the Me Too.
Which is interesting, because we believe that ghosts and hauntings and everything is pretty much related to science, although science doesn't recognize it yet, and that everything can be explained in energy terms and quantum terms and things that we are familiar with. We're just not familiar enough with them yet.
Okay.
And it's almost like he needed to, or she, I don't, it sounds more like a he to me.
It does sound like a he.
Yeah. Needed to build up the energies. If you really, really dig in, there are three Me Too.
There's three of them buried in the audio.
It's like he had to build up the energy to the longer Me Too in order to agree with my statement of wanting $100 in quarters.
What do you think it is about electronics that allows it to pick up, record these sounds that we don't hear with our normal ear? It's obviously a frequency thing.
Mm-hmm. There's two types of recording devices right now that you can get on the market. You have the analog type recorders, mm-hmm. tape recorders.
Right.
We found, and a lot of people will tell you this, that there's a lot more warmth involved with that. There's also a magnetic element involved, too. So we think there may be this element of magnetism that a spirit or entity or whatever name you want to call it can manipulate in some sorts to try to work themselves on the recording at a decibel level below what our normal ear can hear, like right now. But a recording device can pick that sound up. That's on analog. With digital, it gets a little more complicated, I think. There's a lot of ideas around there. We've heard ideas all the way from, well, the entity can actually get inside the device and manipulate the device, make it do tricks for you or something. And it also the same aspect, though, that it also picks up these lower decibel levels that our ears can't hear in normal everyday conversation. But the recording device can pick it up.
For the aficionados out there, these two that we just played, the bridge and the Me Too, mm-hmm. and the cemetery bridge and the I Wanna Go,
yeah.
the cemetery and Me Too, those were both on digital recorders.
Yeah.
And we, when in analyzing these clips, we find that, for example, in the covered bridge, we believe that the little girl's voice reverberates just like ours do.
It actually takes on the same element as the environment as our voices did. You can hear the echo in her voice, too.
And that blew away one of our theories. We were thinking that perhaps she got into and affected the digital stream of recording.
Do you think, making the assumption that they're there and they're real, whether they're in another dimension or what, who knows, but do you think they can see you guys when you're out there at the bridge in the cemetery, or is it just a voice that picks up on another voice?
There could be a number of things. I'm starting to really think that they on the other side, they kind of have the same gig we have here, because you know, there could be spirits sitting with us right now. There could be a spirit sitting in this empty chair right here.
There probably is
with us here.
Yeah. And there may be just the same type of veil between their world as with our world, where they only get glimpses of us too.
Yeah.
We're the ghost to them.
Yeah, and they can't explain it.
Mm-hmm.
That's very possible. Okay, yes. The next one is from a museum. What is that?
Okay, the Michigan Transit Museum one. This was with Will and myself. And this time we left the recorders by themselves. We actually got to the museum that evening, and we went in and warmed up because it was a very cold night. And we decided to take our recorders and go right outside to where this is an old train station, as a matter of fact.
Oh, can I give a little
I jumped ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
I jumped ahead. We're going to go to Child Crying.
We can do the Michigan Transit Museum.
Okay, we'll do Michigan Transit, okay. Danny, just so you know where it is.
Can I give a little history real quick? The Michigan Transit Museum is in Mount Clemens, Michigan, just up the road from here. Uh-huh. And it is where Thomas Edison worked.
Really?
For quite a while.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's cool.
Yes.
It's like a Thomas Edison Memorial also all wrapped up into this.
Which is interesting because Thomas Edison was trying to invent a machine just before he passed on himself.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
To make phone calls back and forth to deceased loved ones.
Okay, let's listen to the Michigan Transit Museum. This is cut number 6. Mm-hmm. It's a real short one. It's only 6 seconds long.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll come back again. And apparently what we're going to hear is the words, "Help me."
Yeah.
Is that true? Okay.
It sounds like a little boy.
All right. Let's listen to this one, Danny. Well, that was faint.
Very faint. It's very faint, but it's very clear when you listen to it close. You guys want to listen to it one more time?
One more time. Yeah. Right there. That's where it was.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's one that's a little bit more faint. The first two we listened to, in our opinion, I listen to them over and over again like a good record because they're so amazing. That was a little more faint, but when we analyzed that, Will and myself got it back to the house that night and pulled that out. We just cropped it out of the audio. We heard this voice that said, "Help me." And you got to remember that we put those recorders out there by ourselves and actually supervised the area from the inside of the museum. We kept an eye out there to make sure nobody went out there and stole our gear, more or less. But no one was out there the whole time, and this little voice just picked up saying, "Help me."
Kind of sad.
It was kind of sad. It is.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I want to listen to some more of these mm-hmm. when we come back at the top of the hour. I think we've got, one more to go?
One or two.
Yeah, something like that. Mm-hmm. We'll get them going. Also, Doug, you've got a special interest in someone that I do, Edgar Cayce.
Oh, yes. I started studying Edgar Cayce a long time ago, when I was in junior high and reading avidly. And I admire what he did and how he did it. He was an amazing person. In real life, being a Christian, a good Christian, and then in waking life, I should say, being a good Christian, then he would go to sleep and cure people. I think that was just remarkable, remarkable work. And I think that he was tapping into information that I know I can't tap into, but that makes me feel good, that's actually out there somewhere waiting for the next one.
Well, I tell you what we're going to do when we come back. We'll listen to some more of these EVP sounds. We'll start it with the Child Crying, cut number 4.
Okay.
But we'll also open up the phone lines and take real ghost stories from people or questions that they may have for all of you. Scott, I noticed also you have a special interest in secret societies.
Yes, I do.
The Illuminati type?
That's part of it, yeah. I have a lot of family that's involved with the Masonic Order, actually, too. And I grew up, actually, with a lot of Masons, with a lot of my family.
Think there's something to all this?
I really think there is now. The more I study it, the more evidence that comes out, the more it just seems to make sense, the more it just seems to all fall into place for me. And I don't want to sound too out there, but I've been to a lot of seminars. I've read a lot of books, watched a lot of video seminars, for example, and the information all just seems to come together. And a lot of these different people all seem to agree on a lot of the aspects, such as the big NWO, mm-hmm. Where all this seems to be it's the main goal, it seems, and that the Illuminati obviously was a society created to bring in the best from all these different secret societies, so to say.
Absolutely. And Will, you're into prophecy, huh?
Yeah, I've been reading up on prophecy for quite some time. I like to discuss on different forums and things. And
are we in end times now?
I believe so. I believe there's a lot of signs out there. There's a lot of false prophets also, which is supposed to be part of it.
Well, that's true too. Stay with us. We'll be back. We're going to open up the phone lines, give you an opportunity to share a ghost story or two or a question. I'm George Norrie, back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.